find that on page 1484 in your pew Bibles. Do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And our second reading is from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, and that's page, 935. "When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive." And verse 19, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When you hear the word gluttony, you automatically think food. Too much food. Eating too much food. Perhaps gluttony brings a few other words to mind as well, like distasteful, poor manners, rude, crass, not savoring, just swallowing. Gluttony is a lot of things, but is it a sin? And is it a deadly sin? You know, when we hear a word like gluttony, we can easily imagine it is less harmful than some of the other deadlies like pride and envy and anger and so on. These are the kinds of things that can really poison the inside of a person, his character. But gluttony, gluttony is maybe a sign of weakness, we think. And you know, we can find it pretty easy to excuse a little bit of gluttony now and again. I mean, there's a dinner time, there's a feast, and you absolutely gorge yourself and you think, well, you know, that's just one of those things. It's okay once in a while. Here's the thing. Gluttony is intriguing and sneaky because gluttony involves the twisting of something that is good. God designed us. God created us with appetites. It's how we were made. That's the way we've been put together by our Creator. It's that every day we get hungry, probably a few times. And eating solids and drinking liquids, well, it's good. And it's necessary, right? You can't live without it. We try to be wise about our intake, which is good, right? And, I mean, there's joy in eating. It's one of the very few activities that can involve all five of our senses. I'm not sure if you thought about that, but it's true. There's the texture of our food, the way it feels in our mouth, right? Makes a difference. There's the smell of food. You walk into a house, bread baking, ha, wonderful, right? It's not just touch and smell. It's the sound that food makes, the snap of a carrot or the sizzle of a fryer, the crunch of an apple. There's the way food is presented, right? The color. I don't know about you, but I love a meal that has some color in it. And then, of course, there's the taste. Eating is meant to be a joy. It's meant to be savored. There's a satisfying thing about eating. And eating is not just about the joy of eating. Eating is also really necessary. It's meant to nourish our life. It's necessary for us to function, to accomplish, to be human beings, and to do things in meaningful ways. So to be blessed by food in the enjoyment of it and in the equipping for service. So eating is a good thing, and we're inclined to treat gluttony a little easy. And we tend to picture overeating or stuffing ourselves, and that's what we think about when we think about gluttony. And then if we had to pinpoint the people who we think are struggling with gluttony, we might catch ourselves singling out certain people. And we'd be utterly self-righteously mistaken. So first things first. Gluttony is not defined by body size. Plain and simple. It's hard to know how much anybody struggles with any of these deadly sins. How much do you struggle with envy? How much do I struggle with anger, for example, or pride? What goes on inside of a person's mind and heart? We don't know exactly what's going on behind the facial mask. Well, gluttony is no different. The question is not, how much is that person or those people guilty of gluttony? The question is, how much am I? How much are we? The entry point for thinking about gluttony is food and drink. We'll address that first. At its most complicated, gluttony connects us to the dynamics of addiction. Overindulge, find satisfaction, experience pleasure. Sometimes that appetite for whatever it is grows and becomes more desperate and becomes obsession and dependence and enslavement. There are dynamics there. And that's something that at first we found so appealing, right, turns on us and bites us back, and a friend becomes an enemy. Now, it's way too simplistic to imagine that, oh, it's people who are addicted to things, whether it's food or alcohol or narcotics or chemicals, including over-the-counter stuff, whether it's nicotine or caffeine or whatever, it's too simplistic to imagine that all those who are officially addicted to something, those are the people who are guilty of gluttony. Now, the dynamics of addiction track with the dynamics of gluttony, yes. But before we call out the specks in the eyes that are out there, we need to tend to the blind spots in ourselves. In its simplest form, gluttony is too much of a good thing. Paul said once to Timothy, he said, everything God created is good and should be received with thanksgiving. When we speak of gluttony, we are saying too much of a good thing in the end is just too much. There's this mysterious process that happens. When we overindulge in anything, our appetite becomes compulsive, and the act of eating, drinking, working, consuming, inhaling, injecting, whatever, that act becomes our master. And we become slaves of an appetite, a hunger. We get locked into patterns and habits, and the joy of filling the appetite is numbed, glazed over. You and I, in this first world life that we live, we are so entangled in the sin of gluttony, so entangled we have a hard time seeing it at all. There's often a glaze that covers our eyes and ears, and more powerfully, there's a glaze that covers and numbs our hearts. And yes, it has to do with food, but not just food. So, supermarkets, aisle after aisle, brand after brand, fruits, vegetables, medications. You walk into a supermarket, are you impressed? Does it stun you at all when you walk into your Sobeys or Safeways or No Frills or Freshco or whatever it is, or wherever it is that you go, or Costco? Do you walk into a store like that and do you want to fall on your knees and just give thanks to God for this enormous abundance? Or is it old hat? Man, those apples are mushy. They don't have the size of cereal box that I want. What? No fresh strawberries? There's just plain too much. Too much in the stores, too much in our refrigerators, too much of a good thing. Now, again, in and of itself, that's not automatically sinful, but gluttony squeezes the gratitude out of a person. This is about getting fussy. This is about getting demanding. This is about feeling entitled to a certain level of quality. And we get wasteful, both in terms of what we throw away and in terms of how much we buy. You know how that goes, right? You go to a store, you want to buy two things, and you can only find it in a package of six. So what happens? You buy the package of six. Doesn't always get used, necessarily. But here's where we need to start wondering and self-examining. Too much of a good thing. We can entry that conversation in terms of food. That's what gluttony gets us started on. But how many pairs of shoes do I actually need? How many square feet of living space do I need in my house? Tools are good. Clothes are good. Screen time is good. It's fun. Smartphones, binge watching. There's a gluttony term if there ever was one. Binge watching. When does a hobby become too much? When does intrigue turn into obsession? Whether it's food, drink, too much food, too much drink, and yeah, we haven't even touched that yet, have we? Our alcohol consumption. We're pretty easy that way too, aren't we? All those glasses of wine and our easy, easy attitude towards drunkenness. It's gluttony. Too much of a good thing. Food, drink, work, workaholism, play, too much of any drug of choice. Gluttony is about trying to find meaning, trying to find a fullness, trying to find a friend by filling ourselves, filling our lives, filling our schedules with something. Gluttony ministers to our body and soul, our hungers and thirsts of body and soul, both. The food we need to consume each day and the drink, right? Every day eating and drinking is meant to reveal every day again our dependence on the God who created us to be hungry and thirsty and to be filled with the life-giving nourishment that he provides. But we're all addicted to sin. We try and fill the hunger and thirst, the empty, with the gifts that are all around us in this world, and all the while, what just kind of happens is that we forget the giver of the gifts. So rich we are. So surrounded by more than we need, so much a part of a consumer society, we don't even realize it. We get numbed, glazed. So many choices, we become choosy. And that's the problem. Where's the gratitude? So much there is, we become careless. Careless about our own selves and careless about the resources of the world. There's so much that the preciousness, the sacredness of it all escapes us. These are God's things that we are consuming. God's things. When we buy, when we possess, when we eat and drink, before anything else, say grace. Cute little phrase, right? You know that phrase. There's a custom, right? A practice, a discipline, which is so deeply, deeply on point, biblically, theologically, spiritually profound. To say grace before we eat. Because when we do, we have eyes open to the gift, not only, but to the giver. What if we remembered to say grace not just before we eat or drink? What if we remembered to say grace before we bought something? What if, in a consumer society, we remember to say grace more often, more consistently, more thankfully, more respectfully? We might savor more, enjoy more. We might sense that the giver is resourcing us for service, and stewardship might overtake wastefulness. You know, it's a fascinating thing to consider these deadly sins during the season of Lent. Gluttony reminds us that our eyes glaze over quite easily. We feed ourselves, fill ourselves with whatever we find pleasurable. And we stop saying grace a lot. We forget the giver. And when you forget the giver, you forget that you yourself are a receiver of God's gifts. We take whatever it is. How did the serpent put it way back in the garden? We take what is good for food, what is pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, he said, or we might say desirable for satisfying our hungers and thirsts, and we take as much as our cash flow can afford us for ourselves, for pleasure. And God, the giver, well, like was said way back then, the day we consume on our own terms and forget the giver, that day, surely, we die. Gluttony is deadly, make no mistake. That's why the gift of Jesus, who is sometimes portrayed as the bread of life or the living water, the gift of Jesus in whom we see God as the giver of life, the God who forgives, heals, bears our punishment, Jesus, the one in whom our eyes are opened again to see God as the giver, to see ourselves as receivers. That's why Lent is a great time to think about these deadly sins. Because in Jesus, you get to see God once again in a way that's helpful and healthy and bang on. We say grace. It's not our taking, it's not our filling, it's not our entitlement to anything that carries the day. It's dependence on the giver of every good thing. And so let the person and the work of Jesus encourage you, me, to say grace, to offer grace, to bear witness to grace. Grace is the deepest and most extravagant truth of all. Grace is more powerful and more prominent than any sin, even the deadly sin called gluttony, which infects us all. It's about too much of lots of things. And it's about too little of another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, when we start thinking through some of what gluttony is about, we wonder just how deeply we are infected. And we pray that you will use your Holy Spirit's presence to help us self-examine and to acknowledge the ways in which we too engage in too much of good things. Hear us. And Lord, open our eyes to see in Jesus a renewal of the revelation, a core moment in which your giving, your heart is revealed. Open our eyes again to the wonder of life lived as dependent people, as people who are called to serve, as people for whom there is enjoyment and equipping. And so, Lord, may we open our eyes to the reality of what is difficult and sinful and glazing in our lives, and then to the wonder and marvel of your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.